Welcome to the Midnight Society. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
And we're here to talk about ghost stories. True ghost stories. Things that have happened to us, things that we want to investigate, and things that have happened to you.
Email us your experiences at midnightsocietyae@gmail.com or leave us your firsthand story as a voicemail at 978-938-4BOO.
Hi, everybody out there in Radioland.
We're here to radio you up.
We're talking about all things paranormal and how we love them and want to look into them some more.
So, pull your chair up to the campfire. We're about to get a little spooky.
Yeah. Get some beverages ready and some popcorn.
Your bag of sand, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Midnight Society, after all.
That's right. Except, you know, this isn't really for your 8-year-old children or your 12-year-old children, because we're going to curse.
Okay? And we're drinking.
So if there are any children, you know, just tell them to buzz off.
Not safe for your children.
No, exactly. So, I mean, I thought it would be cool to start this podcast because I love paranormal. You love paranormal. We both love to be spooked. So I thought, why don't we get together and learn more about this and like tell each other stories and get spooked together.
Totally.
And maybe some people would like it.
Maybe. We'll see.
Probably not.
We're going to like it.
So basically what got me originally into scary stories was my very first experience with a ghost.
Tell me more.
Yeah. So just to set the scene a little bit, I grew up in a suburb of Detroit in a kind of like rural area for the neighborhood, you know, pretty suburban, but for some reason my neighborhood had like acres of land and things like that. So my house was on a murky river, there was a pond, there was a cemetery across the street. We found like arrowheads buried in our yard, and also a lady had actually died in our house.
Hello.
We had one of the oldest houses on the block, but it wasn't that old in comparison to like where we live now in Massachusetts, but for Michigan, it was pretty old. So I don't know. I was just kind of always into it. Plus I was born around Halloween. So all my birthday parties were like Halloween theme parties. So I was into it.
Yeah. You're a product of your environment.
That's right. So I don't know. I happen to also love cemeteries, and I think that is partially because I grew up across the street from one, and it was the safest place to, like, ride my bike, and, like, maybe that's weird that I'm, like, a kid that, like, rollerblades in a cemetery, and it's like, la 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 la, just listening to garbage, guys, don't mind me.
It's the most 90s thing you've ever said.
I know.
No, I mean, you have good associations with it, plus it's spooky.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to open this door. It's fucking hot in here, guys.
We're okay. Everything's all right. If we go silent, call the Coast Guard.
So anyway, I don't know. I think this was probably when I was in third grade or so. I went to bed like any other night, you know, going to bed. Mom and Dad read me my bedtime story.
Nice.
And I fall asleep, happy as a clam. And I woke up in the middle of the night because I had to go to the bathroom. And when I rolled over, I noticed in my doorway was a brown-haired little girl wearing, like, a white Victorian-era nightie with, like, a teddy bear and, like, just standing there looking at me. And I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of, like, stared and then blinked. And when I, like, you know, forcefully blinked my eyes, and when I opened them up again, she was gone. So I, like, ran to my bathroom, because that's the whole reason I woke up in the first place. And then I woke up the next morning in my parents' bed. So that's the one thing that makes me feel like perhaps it actually happened, because, you know, I'm well aware of false memories, and as a kid, you have an active imagination, you're into Halloween. But I actually woke up in my parents' bed.
Right. There was some evidence that you actually left the room that night.
Exactly. So what I basically did once we started to talk about doing this podcast is I did a little bit of research around who this could possibly be. Because at the time, I just wrote it off like, okay, I just hope that doesn't happen again. I'm a little kid. What am I going to do?
Maybe stop rollerblading in the cemetery.
Yeah. True. I could have done that, but hell no.
A more cautious child.
No, I needed to get my no down and rollerblading on, you know? That's what she said she did, you know? Back in the 90s. Rollerblading. It's how I keep my abs tight. So anyway, I started doing some research for this podcast, and what I found, which was interesting, was that there was a Victorian girl. I literally Googled Victorian era girl buried in this cemetery across the street. And I got one result, and it was for a little girl named Mildred Gutschow, which is like the most unfortunate name.
Mm. Maybe back then it was pretty.
Maybe. But I like found a picture of her, and she had long dark hair, which isn't that unusual either. But mm-hmm. still, I was like, interesting. The only result I'm getting is a girl with long dark hair. And as I did more digging into who this little girl was, I found that she like died at roughly 11 years old, I think, if my memory serves.
Okay.
And it was of like a liver or some sort of like abscess or something like that.
Brutal.
She died pretty young, obviously. And when I did a little bit more digging into her name, I was like, okay, what can I find out about her and her family? Mm-hmm. It turned out that there was actually an uncle on my mother's side that had her, let's see, how do I best say this? Okay. Mildred Gutschow's mother's mm-hmm. maiden name was the same name as an uncle on my mom's side. So, and it was unusual because my family actually owned a lot of the property in that area at the time, like way back when. We were some of the first families in the neighborhood because we were farmers.
Okay.
We bought up a ton of land. So after doing this research, I couldn't help but ask myself, like, what if this girl was actually some sort of distant relative?
Or had lived on that spot before.
Right, or that. And when I looked up where her plot was in the cemetery, and if you drew a line from the back of the cemetery straight to my house, you mm-hmm. would go right through her plot.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, maybe that's who this Mildred, who maybe that's who this girl was that whole time. If I'd not like blinked so hard, maybe I would have had a little ghost friend. Instead, I was a jerk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard when you're a kid. I mean, I have like odd sort of vague memories from when I was a kid too. And I never remember reacting in a way that wasn't purely natural or mm-hmm. instinctive. You know what I mean? Like these days as an adult, I've seen so many movies. If I saw a little girl clutching a teddy bear at the door of my bedroom, I would scream, I would turn tail, and I would leave. But as a kid, I mean, you did something that was sort of normal, which was you got up and went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were running away. It was just...
I probably should have, but...
Yeah. Or maybe you should have stayed and played. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, you never can tell what's actually going to get them to show up again.
Yeah. And so I like did some research too into cemeteries because I feel like there's so much lore around cemeteries in general. I mean, did you as a kid, did you ever play that game where like whenever you drive by a cemetery, you
totally
hold your breath?
Yes. Yeah. I would put myself near unconsciousness.
Do you know why?
No, I just knew. Okay. I just knew that was what you're supposed to do.
I was the same way, but it turns out that there was the superstition to hold your breath as you pass a cemetery. Otherwise, an evil spirit or the spirit of a recently deceased person mm-hmm. could enter you. And
sounds about
you.
Right.
So that's supposedly why you'd hold your breath.
Did you also plug your nose?
No.
I did.
So maybe I'm not me. Maybe I'm Mildred.
You might be Mildred.
Another interesting little folklore legend that I've heard is that if you're the first person to leave the cemetery after a funeral, it could bring you bad luck or even death.
Jesus.
Didn't know that one. And you should never take flowers from a grave or the spirit will haunt you.
Well, that's just rude.
It's exactly. I'm like, I think that's just to discourage people from doing something.
Being assholes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually have a story from my mom, if I can pull it up real quick. Should have done that.
Was this also in Michigan?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name's Leah, and I want to relate a story that happened to me when I was 13 or 14 years old. My grandmother had died about a week prior, and we had gone to the cemetery on that Sunday to place flowers on her grave. While I was standing there, I felt this breeze up my neck, and then like something leaning against my shoulder, almost pushing me down. And it scared me. I didn't know what it was. After that, we had to go back to my grandmother's house to help clean it out. And my job was to go up into the attic to see what was left up there and to pull it down. While I was up there, I again felt the breeze up my neck. And as I turned around, I saw this figure, a form of a woman that was about my grandmother's size. And she was, or it was, sitting on the rafters with its legs swinging and laughing. And my grandmother's laugh, basically. Well, needless to say, it scared me half to death. And I went down the ladder as fast as I could, told my aunts, and they just didn't believe me. And then they went up in the attic and they didn't see anything.
That's my dad dying in the background.
Aww. But since that day, I swear it was my grandmother up there.
Yeah.
And that she was visiting me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So what I don't know, though, and what I couldn't get out of her, she's never told me that story. And she honestly doesn't talk much about, like, her past, really. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what kind of relationship she had with her grandmother. Like, I've seen photos. She seems like a very lovely, like, farmer kind of lady. Just, like, smiley. And so, like, the story she has of this kind of, like, the way she described it sound very menacing. Like, well, sitting in the rafters, dangling its legs and laughing.
I can imagine that that was frightening. But I didn't really get the impression that she meant the sitting on the rafters, dangling your feet and laughing was out of character. She said that, you know, it was my grandmother's laugh.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like not so menacing, but she thought it was because she was so young.
Yeah, maybe so. I know, like, I've told her all about our stories that we're doing and mm-hmm. our podcast. Our stories, it's like...
I need my stories.
I need my stories. she's like, ooh, spooky. Like, she's not into this. I don't know. Like, she did do a New Orleans ghost tour with me when we were there, but I think this honestly scares her to death. She's mm-hmm. like, she was raised very Catholic. Like, so, and not, like, having heard that story now, that's probably part of the reason why she's scared is she, like, heard her grandmother laughing.
Yeah. Well, I think that it lends some integrity to a story when somebody... when it affected them so deeply that they couldn't just go out the next day and tell everybody they knew. Like, that's something that you had to draw out of her.
Right. Yeah. So
I think that's spooky as fuck.
Yeah, it's a good spooky story. Spookier than mine, for sure.
Well, yours is spooky, too, because there was a teddy bear. Gross.
So Amanda and I also actually went and investigated a cemetery that we... learned about. We have been trying to find local haunts that we could easily explore. We're pretty new to this whole ghost hunting thing, and I'm excited to take the listeners on that adventure with us, but this was like, you know, a cemetery that was easy enough for us to get to. Mm-hmm. It had a story of it being haunted.
It's old AF,
and we said, let's go check it out.
And I do want to jump in real quick and just let folks know that we did decide to keep the name of the cemetery and the town anonymous. So you'll actually hear bleeps when we refer to them in these recordings.
So instead of retelling you here, I actually have some recordings for us.
Oh, cool. Let it speak for itself. Ooh.
All right, listeners, we're in the car heading to a cemetery in...
This is Old Cemetery, which has a little bit of lore behind it. People who have visited there report immediately feeling a change of feeling, an idea of not being alone, some cold spots,
They've also reported seeing a fast-moving black figure near a tabletop grave that's flanked by three graves that reportedly belong to concubines.
Although we're not really sure how people know they're concubines.
Or why they use the word concubine to begin with.
Exactly. So we're here to investigate. We'll see what's up. We're going to find some ghosts. We've got Eliyahu and Johnny with us.
Hey.
They are
ghosts.
Protectors.
Well, they're driving.
They're our escorts.
Designated drivers. I don't know why they use the word escort.
All right. See you in a minute.
Concubines.
We barely know them. They're not that funny in real life.
No.
The stories that we found online were essentially that a lot of the activity in the cemetery centered around sort of like giant tabletop-shaped grave.
We went there to check it out. And Amanda, I mean, what did you think of the experience? Because there was also that story of the white woman. Maybe we start with the white woman. Do you remember her? There was like a story that there was a woman in white that would like haunt the edge of the back wall of the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. There was like a caretaker's house that didn't, if I remember correctly, didn't have any windows.
No, it was like a shed.
Yeah, but it was big enough to be a house. And it was in the back corner, and it was said that there was some activity back there too. Basically, it just, any stories we found online really just directed you to the deepest, darkest corner of this fucking cemetery. So that's where we went.
That's right. And right when we walked in, the first thing we saw was this white figure. And mm-hmm. as we approached it with our lights, we were both pretty freaked out by it.
It was immediate and shocking to see. It was just 8 feet tall. You could see it had shoulders, and it was just standing there menacingly looking like a white raven man.
Yeah.
In the distance.
And all it was a tombstone.
It was huge, though.
A giant tombstone that had like rain stains or something.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Amanda said, it had this like shoulder shape to it, and where like the shoulder met the top like head shape of the tombstone. So I don't know, what, like almost like a clover shape. Right where that met, there was like water stains that made it look even more like there was like shoulder definition.
Right. It did look pretty 3D. But that immediately, as soon as we got into the cemetery, we saw that, realized what it was. And then, I mean, I don't know about you, but my first thought was, okay, now I'm starting to see where all these stories came from.
Exactly. It was almost like, okay, this is just like lore of some sort. This is clearly just a tombstone that people like got freaked out about, probably went in there drunk or high or something.
Right.
Like saw it and were like, oh my God, what is that? And then ran out.
But that wasn't the only story people told about the cemetery.
That's right. So this black figure that we heard about. So we did ask the white woman questions, and we didn't really get any kind of responses or anything. We did
No.
the whole EVP thing mm-hmm. and the EMF reader, and nothing was really happening. So we did find the tabletop grave where this black figure supposedly hung out.
Mm-hmm. And it did get a little creepy.
It did. We had a bunch of questions. And to be honest with you, because I'm so familiar with cemeteries, I was not freaked out in there at all. Seeing that like tombstone was kind of exhilarating. It was like, oh my God, that's like what that was this whole time.
Right.
It wasn't that. I wasn't like scared.
But seeing this tombstone for me was, I started becoming hyper aware of the fact that my brain was going to turn anything I saw or heard into something menacing and terrifying, because that's just who I am.
Yeah.
So I mean, not that I don't love being scared, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I was terrified.
Yeah. So we were holding hands. And basically the only thing that kept me freaked out is we kept getting cars driving by. Yeah. And mind you, this town that we're talking about, I think there's only like 500 people that live there.
But so many cars went by.
I know, so many cars. Could you describe like what was around the tombstone?
Oh, yeah. So then you get to the Reverend Lee's grave, which is this big sort of glorified tabletop grave. So it's giant. It looks like about the length and size of a dining room table. And it's on two other sort of low stone legs, if you want to call them that. And there's a bunch of inscriptions on the tabletop, but it's covered with lichen and it's super weathered. It's really hard to read it. But it's located in this sort of long rectangular plot that looks like a family plot. It's ringed with cobbles, and there are a bunch of other smaller graves in it. And they're all, like, they're equally engraved but equally illegible. You really can't read what they say. Actually, in a lot of our recordings, our annoying boyfriends, well, boyfriend, husband, kept trying to read them out loud.
Yeah, we're still trying to train them on this whole ghost hunting thing and how they can't just whisper to each other while we're trying to, like, you know,
we're trying record. To raise the dead here. Shut the fuck up. But yeah, so the remainder of the graves in this familial plot type thing seemed to be family, but they were all women and they were all young. And a lot of them were labeled as consorts of the Reverend Lee. And as Aaron said, we found out later on that that could be a reference to subsequent wives. So you get married once, that first wife is the wife, and then subsequent wives after that wife dies are your consorts, which could be where the concubine misconception comes from.
Come on, people, use a dictionary. It's not hard. We did it. Probably while we were drinking back at home after doing this.
It was Google, so it was sort of cheating.
So then what happened is we're asking questions, and we're not really getting much of a response to our naked ears at the time anyway.
Right.
And it's possible, too, like, again, we're still figuring this out. We didn't even have, like, good headphones until, I still don't, actually. I'm lying. Until yesterday. Nope. That's not true.
We're doing what we can with what we have.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is all that anybody can ask of us. Take note.
Exactly. So we didn't hear anything listening back. However, one thing did happen that was very strange.
It was creepy.
So, again, because I spent so much time in cemeteries growing up, I was pretty comfortable while we were in there. But let me just play this for you.
Yeah.
So you can hear it.
Also, just setting the scene, actually, I was blubbering and holding on to Aaron's hand when this happened. And go.
And go.
All right, Reverend Lee. Is it you that hangs out still around this grave?
I've just come to talk with you. Did you know anything about the white woman who haunts this cemetery?
I just got a weird feeling.
Like what?
I don't know. I suddenly got a rush of, like, adrenaline. That's interesting.
Could that have been a cat or a person?
Yeah, that's probably like a night owl of some sort, hunting something. But the timing was funny. Okay, I think I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Basically, that was really weird.
Creepy AF.
It was really weird because, as I said, I was so calm this whole time, and all of a sudden, I just got this adrenaline rush.
Aaron was really the rock throughout this night. So, if that's any indication of how strange this was.
So, my husband has mentioned to me that he thinks maybe I'm an empath or something, and I've definitely felt like there are moments in which, like, I can just feel what someone else is feeling. It's not mm-hmm. all the time, but sometimes I just, like, get the feelings, you know? And that's what that felt like. I just suddenly was like, what the fuck? We need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then this crazy screech happens out in the woods. So I don't know if maybe I was just picking up on, like, an animal that was getting, like, that emotion of
animal
whatever
panic.
Animal was getting attacked. It, mm-hmm. like, realized it's about to die, and maybe that's what I felt. But I was definitely freaked out after that, either because I didn't know what animal was lurking out in the woods, or I kept thinking of, like, hillbillies out there coming at us with guns.
Massachusetts still has deliverance country.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was imagining. I was like, there's someone out there who just loves his guns.
Well, and they were like, look at these fucking nerds with their headlamps
exactly.
and their microphones in their hands.
But, you know, and it was weird, too, because after that, we tried to keep asking questions, and I don't know if I told you this at the time, but my vision started to actually, like, fog. Like, looking out past, off into the distance, I just saw, like, a haze that I knew wasn't there. I was just like, what is this? So we actually turned off all of our electronic devices, right, because I thought it was maybe the glow of the light from the electronic devices that was just messing with my vision in the dark. Mm-hmm. But it continued to be like that. And we turned the voice recorder back on and tried to keep asking questions. But I was like, okay, we just need to go.
You win.
So we left. And then we saged the fuck out of ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We got into the car. And our significant others who were like, I guess you can swish some burning sticks.
They're like, I really don't know why you're doing this right now. Yeah, I mean, moral of the story is that for a first cemetery investigation, it was pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. We learned some stuff. And
we did.
I mean, I feel like of the two of us, I err on the side of let me find some reason why this is, like, how can I rationalize this? That gravestone really, like, we walked in the cemetery and we saw the gravestone that looked like a person. And immediately I had this moment of, like, aha, like, this is why all these stories exist. Right. But then that happened at the very end. And I was like, you know what, actually, like, maybe someday we'll come back.
Exactly. And I think that's what I'm excited for with our podcast is we're going to continue to investigate. There's even a couple of other cemeteries in the neighborhood that we know have really interesting backstories mm-hmm. that we'll save for possibly another time. Mm-hmm. But this is just the beginning, folks. We're excited to dig into more historical backgrounds into some of these stories, and we're excited to actually go to these locations and check them out and let you know what we find.
We are just getting warmed up.
That's right.
And we're not going to bring Eliyahu and Johnny on every investigation.
God damn it. just so the audience knows, I did do an investigation prior to this with only my husband because we were like staying the night at a friend's house who had a haunted room. Let me just tell you how frustrating it was. He kept playing music on his iPad and I had to keep being like, shut up.
Do you not know how microphones work?
Have you never seen a ghost hunting show? What are you doing?
Has he?
I don't know, because every time I watch them, he like comes in like, what are you watching? And I'm like, oh, just, you know, this show.
He's like, all right, bye.
He's like, okay, bye. And turns around.
Well, so this is going to be a journey of exploration into the paranormal realm and also into training our friends to shut the F up.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks for coming along for the ride.
Thanks, everybody. We hope you tune in next time. Bye.